No, definitely not.
Item 17. Item 17 is a, first, before I go into it, I want to note that there is a translator in the room associated with this item. Monica Baracarte of our staff will be available for translation.
That's going to happen because she...
So item 17 is an informational item. This represents the latest update by Irrigated Lands Program staff on the status of two erosion cases.
Okay,
excuse me. Before he starts his presentation, can there be a Spanish announcement about the availability of translation so that someone who might want to take advantage of it will know that it's available before the presentation starts? Thank you.
I can make the announcement.
No, I would like to have our official translator make the announcement.
Who she is.
Mónica Baracarte, quería avisarles a todos que estoy traduciendo del inglés al español. Estoy sentada ahí atrás con estas dos personas. Si alguien necesita ayuda, que se sienten cerca mío. Vamos a hablar del punto de hoy, es de un problema que hubo en la zona del Elkhorn Slough con lavado de tierras. El punto es este, el número 17.
Gracias. Please continue. And then for all of us, you know, including staff, is to speak slowly. And when there will be an opportunity for, parties requesting translation to speak at the podium, I will extend and double the amount of time available to allow for translation.
Item 17 is an informational item. This part represents the latest update by the Irrigated Lands Program staff on the status of two erosion cases from Elkhorn Slough Road strawberry fields. We first discussed these cases in Watsonville a little less than a year ago, you'll recall. Staff became aware of them in February of last year, 2017. Then most recently, we discussed these again in Santa Barbara at the September 2017 board meeting. So the second part of this item is not specific to the Elkhorn Slough erosion cases, but is about erosion from irrigated lands in general. It's a more general item. Provides a discussion about erosion and sedimentation from ag lands, including potential problems posed by the combination of impermeable plastics, slopes, and erosive soils at some ag sites. Paula Richter will start the presentation, and then Chris Rose will provide additional material. Paula.
But before we get started, I just want to make it clear to the board and to any members of the public that at this point this is only an informational item. The board will not be discussing any enforcement actions that may be taken against any of the parties, and we are not prejudging any matters. This is solely an informational item that the board wanted an update on the farms.
And you meant to say potential enforcement action?
Correct.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Wolf, ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Paula Richter, and I'm an environmental scientist working in our Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program. Henry, is that better? Is that better? Okay. Before I begin, I want to just let you know that I'm going to slow down this presentation to allow for the interpreter to be able to communicate with Mr. Rocha. The purpose of this informational item is to update the board on the status of staff's investigation into complaints received in the winter of 2017 about severe runoff, erosion, and sediment discharges to Elkhorn Slough coming off strawberry fields along Elkhorn Road. As background, a major storm event hit Monterey County in mid-February. It lasted for 5 days and was preceded by three other storms. Northern Monterey County was particularly hard hit. Every major roadway was shut down at one point or another. 100 trees fell on county roads alone. Culverts failed as roads eroded and slipouts formed. Central Coast Water Board staff received complaints from citizens and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Two farms were identified as potential dischargers, Francisco Rocha Farms and Glees Farms. To get you oriented, the two farms we will be discussing today are located on Elkhorn Road between Walker Valley Road at the south and Kirby Park at the north. Francisco Rocha Farms in the north, Glees Farms in the south. Elkhorn Road borders Elkhorn Slough to the left, to the west. Francisco Rocha Farms is a 40-acre strawberry farm located almost directly across from Kirby Park. It's situated on the Elkhorn Slough Ecological and National Estuarian Research Reserves. The slopes are steep, running west to east at 13% and south to north at 7.25%. Glees Farms is a 32-acre strawberry farm located near the intersection of Elkhorn Road and Walker Valley Road. The slopes are much less steep, 8.6% east, west to east, and 1.2% north to south. These photos illustrate the flooding severity and road damage that had already occurred along Elkhorn Road. These were taken before the February 16th through 19th storm. The yellow circle is marking the location of the sediment basin on Francisco Rocha Farms. Staff estimates that the sediment basin is one-tenth the size it needs to be to accommodate a one-inch rain event over their 40-acre field, 80% covered in plastic. We used a one-inch rain event because this is not an uncommon rain event in Monterey County. When their sediment basin is overwhelmed, the farm discharges to a roadside ditch into a culvert underneath Elkhorn Road. That culvert is connected to another culvert system on the other side of Elkhorn Road and bypasses an inadequate sediment basin on land owned by another farm operation. The runoff then discharges into the wetlands of Elkhorn Slough. There's also likely sheet flow from their ag road that would follow a nearly identical path. CDFW, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, reports that Francisco Rocha Farms has not controlled flows of sediment into Elkhorn Slough for many years. You can see the willows that have established in the wetlands due to that sediment buildup. The culverts and Kirby Road were destroyed last winter, and Kirby Park is currently closed. CDFW estimates that it will cost more than $1 million to conduct the necessary road and culvert repairs. Glees Farms has four sediment basins marked with yellow circles. We estimate they provide approximately 6/10 of an acre in storage. They need about 8/10 of an acre to accommodate a 1-inch rain event over their 32-acre field, 80% covered in plastic. If their sediment basin is overwhelmed, the farm discharges to a roadside ditch into culverts that run underneath Elkhorn Road. These are perched culverts that discharge down a steep hillside and ultimately discharge to a ravine. The ravine empties into an ephemeral swale that ultimately discharges to Elkhorn Slough. Excuse me. The transparent blue rectangles represent the areas of three road slipouts that occurred on Elkhorn Road in the winter of 2017. CDFW reports that Glees Farms has also not controlled flows of sediment into Elkhorn Slough for many years. However, it appears that multiple factors contributed to the conditions that led to the three road slipouts and the sediment discharges. Runoff flowing down the steep slopes off Elkhorn Road from several culverts into an ephemeral swale that only flows during rain events. Slopes of Elkhorn Road, while steep, are heavily vegetated. The ravine is also heavily vegetated. The swale is wide and flat and would slow down velocities and also allow sediment to drop out. These conditions would trap a good deal of sediment prior to discharging to the slough. As such, staff has been unable to make the determination with a high level of certainty that Glees Farms discharged to Elkhorn Slough. Now I'm going to walk you through a chronology leading up to our first site visit. Staff received complaints on February 10th of 2017 from concerned citizens and CDFW. We immediately began our investigation. We next arranged to conduct our first site visit to both farms on March 6th. I will pick up with this chronology later in the presentation to let you know what occurred after the first site visit. In attendance were staff from CDFW, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Elkhorn Slough Reserve, Friends, Artists, and Neighbors of Elkhorn Slough, and the Central Coast Water Board. The purpose of the site visit was to assess the conditions of the areas at each of the two farms. At Francisco Rocha Farms, 3 weeks following the fourth storm event, there was still clear evidence of highly turbid discharge from the farm. You can see the southern edge of the farm in the upper portion of the photo on the right. The runoff flowing off the farm from their sediment basin into the roadside ditch is captured in the culvert that I mentioned earlier that runs under Elkhorn Road. The discharge is then flowing out of the culvert on the other side of Elkhorn Road into an undersized sediment basin owned by another farming operation, as shown in the left photo. It then flows directly into the wetlands. CDFW estimated that approximately 5,000 cubic yards of sediment discharged to the slough. At Glees Farms, overflow from an improperly designed sediment basin led to the need to line the slope with plastic to avoid erosion. It is clear that the discharge was not nearly as significant as that which occurred on Francisco Rocha Farms. These photos were taken on the same day, and the presence of turbid water is significantly less than what we observed at Rocha Farms. CDFW estimated that approximately 3,000 cubic yards of sediment discharged to the slough from the Glez Farms area. However, as I mentioned, it appears that multiple factors contributed to the conditions that led to the three road slipouts and the sediment discharges. Glez Farms contends that their discharge was relatively minor. It is difficult to tease out how much of the sediment discharge came from Glez Farms, how much came from the slipouts, and how much may have come from other farms in close proximity. Next, I'm going to take you through what happened up to our second site visit. Staff issued three notices of violations to both dischargers. These were informal enforcement actions requesting technical and monitoring reporting from both farms. The first NOV was issued on July 10th. We received no response from either farm. We issued a second NOV to both farms, and Glez Farms requested an extension to respond prior to their issuance. So in their second NOV, we granted them an extension through August 15th to submit technical and monitoring reporting, but required that they submit their farm plan immediately, since they're required to have a farm plan under the ag order. Francisco Rocha Farms did not respond. We issued a third NOV again to both farms, reminding them of past and upcoming due dates. Glez Farms submitted their updated farm plan on October 19th. Francisco Rocha Farms did not respond. Staff next conducted a drive-by investigation and arranged for a second multi-agency site visit on October 24th. For our second site visit, we invited Monterey County staff to join us. Also in attendance were many of the same folks that had come to the prior site visit, and Glez Farms has had their attorney present. Steep to very steep slopes with bare soil were observed at Rocha Farms in October of 2017. The unmaintained sediment basin is in the forefront of the left photo. No BMPs were observed to be in place to manage sediment. The dischargers advised that the farm had been fumigated that morning, despite the noticed site visit. So we had only limited access. We cautioned the dischargers that they should immediately stabilize the slopes and that strawberry plantings with plastic this late in the year presented a high potential for further discharges to Elkhorn Slough. We counseled them on potential BMPs that they could implement to get them through the upcoming winter rainy season. We also answered their questions related to preparation of their farm plan. It was clear that they had not developed a farm plan because they were had a handwritten, half-filled-out form. Glez Farms' sediment basins were also in need of immediate maintenance and repair. We cautioned the dischargers that their sediment basin system might be undersized. We asked them to remove the plastic sheeting on the slope below their lower sediment basin But Glees Farms has implemented multiple best management practices to manage sediment. They plant cover crops in the furrows between their row crops. They plant at the edges of each furrow moving downslope. They contour their row patterns to slow flow velocities. And they either plant another strawberry crop, a cover crop, or leave the last harvest strawberry crop to fallow to avoid bare soil conditions in the winter rainy season. These photos are taken the same day as the photos I just showed you in the previous slide. Now I'll wrap up the chronology for you through Wednesday of this week. Prior to the second site visit, Glees Farms submitted their sediment basin design plans. On November 7th, staff issued findings to both dischargers from our second site visit. Having received no response from Francisco Rocha Farms, staff issued a draft cleanup and abatement order on January 5th. On January 10th, Glees Farms copied staff on an email to the Monterey Resource Conservation District, following up on their request for technical assistance. The comment period on the draft cleanup and abatement order issued to Francisco Rocha Farms ended on February 5th. We did not receive any comments on that draft. Staff sent Glees Farms a reminder on February 1st that there was still past due technical monitoring and reporting required under the prior NOVs. We received a letter from attorneys for Glees Farms on February 5th with some questions and a status update. A major point of the letter was that they have struggled to find any engineering assistance. Everyone up in the area is and has been extremely busy since last winter's storms. Staff believes that they are progressing satisfactorily toward compliance. Also on February 5th, we received an email and phone call from Joy Jacobs at the California Strawberry Commission. Mr. Rocha had been in contact with her and was requesting a Spanish translator for this board meeting. She also indicated that he had advised her that they had done everything we discussed during our last site visit. I told her that this was good news, but we needed for them to submit the technical and monitoring reporting required under the three NOVs. She also mentioned that they would be submitting a brief update on best management practices that they had implemented with photo documentation by close of business that day, but we did not receive it. In summary, Francisco Rocha Farms has failed to submit their farm plan, and staff does not believe that they have ever developed a farm plan as required under the ag order. They have also failed to submit any of the technical and monitoring reporting required under the three NOVs. Their sediment basin is significantly undersized. They fumigated their farm the day of our scheduled site visit, precluding all but limited access to their operations. Staff finds that this farm has a high risk of future sediment discharges and is a high threat to water quality. As for Glees Farms, they have submitted an updated farm plan as well as their sediment basin system design plans. They implement multiple best management practices to manage sediment on their farm. Their contention that their system is adequate to contain runoff is still under investigation. Their contention that road failures and downed trees led to the majority of the sediment discharges is plausible. They are progressing satisfactorily toward compliance, and we just received supplemental reporting after preparation of this presentation, which is currently under review. Based on this, staff finds that this farm has a low risk of future sediment discharges and is a low threat to water quality. Based on their lack of response, staff intends to recommend issuance of a final cleanup and abatement order to Francisco Rocha Farms. As for Glees Farms, we intend to continue to follow up on past due reporting, review their attorney's letter, and a report just received this morning from the landowner regarding the current conditions of their site. Our major concern is whether their sediment basin system has sufficient capacity. Their attorney has indicated they have now secured the assistance of a civil engineering firm and the Resource Conservation District of Monterey County. They anticipate they will have the requested sediment basin system design review completed in the not-too-distant future. Their attorney also advised that they have maintained and repaired their sediment basin system and left last season's strawberry crop to fallow over this winter. Their future responsiveness and further staff review will determine whether further enforcement action may be necessary. This concludes my update. Thank you for your time today. I'm going to turn this over to Chris Rose. He's going to discuss erosion and sedimentation issues on a broader region-wide level.
And also, just for my fellow board members, we have six speaker cards on this particular item. So we'll hear from you, Chris, and then I suggest we hear from the various folks who requested to speak, and then we can engage.
Dr. Wolf, I just have two quick questions for staff that just kind of clarification type questions, if I could.
Yes.
Are both of these farms enrolled in the Ag Waiver Program?
Yes.
Okay. And what tiers are each of these farms in?
You know what? That's a really good question. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm new to this case, but okay. I think that they're both tier two or three.
Okay. And then quickly, the level and quality of the communications between staff and Rocha Farms historically? You know, I want to understand, has there been difficulty or challenges with communication with the operators of Rocha Farms?
I think that they're responded when we requested to set the site visit.
How? Phone call?
Email, phone calls, both.
In English?
No, because we have Spanish speaking, but actually the landowner, Mr. Vasquez, his daughter speaks English, and she has acted as the intermediary. And all of our communications have a little text box in Spanish that tells the receiver that they can contact us to have anything translated to Spanish. Every piece of communication.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, we're well into this item, so I will not accept any additional speaker card for item 17 specifically. Please continue.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm Christopher Rose. I'm the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program Manager at the Central Coast Water Board. And I just have a few slides to talk a little bit more broadly about this issue. So I'll get started here. First of all, erosion sedimentation is widespread in this region on unirrigated lands. And one of the ways that we address this issue is through the complaint system. As Ms. Richter just spoke with you about the Glees Farms and the Rocha Farms, we found out about this through a complaint system. The agricultural program has received about 52 complaints between 2015 and 2018. Sometimes we receive anonymous complaints, and this is not included in the 52. And I say that they're anonymous because I will get a call, for example, and the person has an issue about a farm that is next to them or upslope of them, and they don't want to tell me who the people are or even who they are, but they just would like to lodge a complaint about erosion and or flooding on their property.
Chris, as clarification.
Yes.
The 52 are all erosion related complaints, the 52 complaints?
I'm going to clarify that in a moment. No,
sorry,
they're not.
Didn't mean to steal your thought.
And as a reminder, speaking slowly.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
Espacio, per favor.
Yes. I will slow it down even more. Thank you for that reminder. 21 of the complaints that we have received of the 52 involve strawberries using plastic. So now I will talk for just a moment about the use of plastic mulch on strawberries. Strawberry production has nearly doubled in our region in the past 15 years. The majority of this increase we have seen occur in Monterey and Santa Barbara counties, particularly in the Watsonville and Santa Maria area. Cane and bushberry production has also seen some changes where we have increases. And caneberry and bushberry production, which often use a hoop house approach, again using plastic draped over hoops. I'll talk for a moment about the Nura Grande site. These are hoop houses over a blueberry production. It's about 30 acres. Can you see this arrow if I do this on your screen? All right. Really, right, almost right down the middle of this is the crest of the hillside. And running southeast, there is a slope that runs south through this area here, which is a home and a different parcel from the hoop houses. To the northwest, the hoop houses run north, or the slope runs north, excuse me, northwest, and then drains through this riparian area here. We received a complaint from this neighbor here after the hoop houses were constructed. And this neighbor here, they have lived here for decades, well before the hoop houses were constructed. Here's a closer look at the hoop houses. As you can see, They have plastic here, and then as well, they have this geotech fabric to control the temperature inside. The temperature, climate, as well as weeds and so on. There's many benefits to that. Here is an illustration of the discharge coming off of the hoop houses, coming over this bank, running on to the neighbor's property. The fence line is the boundary line. So as you can see, the plastic, they are really farming right up to the fence line. And as you can see, there's overland flow through here. It ran downslope across the neighbor's property. This is following a rain event of the neighbor's property who is downslope of those blueberries. And we are looking down gradient, so the water is flowing away from us. And it developed from what was a rill, and a rill is like a channel that has an area of less than 1 square foot, and it has developed this gully, which is an area greater than 1 square foot. And I was at this site, and it's far more than 6 feet across, and it is cutting this channel into this riparian area. And the neighbors, of course, are concerned that is going to continue to migrate up into their driveway. Here is another site from Buellton. This is not using plastic, or at least the whole farm is not plastic. They do grow strawberries as well as some other crops. It's difficult to see, however, at this red circle here, there is a very steep drop into a ravine right at this red circle. And this farm is located essentially on a plateau that is surrounded by very steep hillsides. Through weather, rain, and irrigation events, we see sites along this farm that are forming rills and gullies along these steep hillsides. To the extent that in one area in particular, it has been failing for quite some time, and you can see the mass wasting here, and then when it does rain, that is carried downhill and then to a drainage. What the grower has been doing is throwing debris over the sides of these areas where it's failing to try to reinforce it with hardscape or whatever they have available to slow that erosion process. If we look downslope, however, we can see these debris traps where this debris is caught eventually. However, ultimately, it works its way to the sediment basin, in Buellton. And the city uses this sediment basin for flood control. However, following rain events, it fills with sediment, and so they must maintain it more periodically than if there wasn't the sediment coming off of this farm. So what do we do about this with the current egg water requirements? As Ms. Richter mentioned, there is a requirement for a farm plan. And in that farm plan, growers must have erosion control measures outlined, including stormwater management and aquatic habitat protection. Condition 36 of Egg Order 3.0 also says that growers must prevent erosion, reduce stormwater, and hold fine particles in place. Condition 37 of the Egg Order says that growers must minimize bare soil where it is vulnerable to erosion. And condition 39 says that growers must maintain existing riparian vegetation to minimize discharge, stabilize stream banks, and control erosion. And of course, support aquatic life. We did not receive a complaint at this site, but I wanted to show you this to illustrate sometimes how close the plastic, whether it be hoop houses or strawberry production, is to roadsides. You may recall what the post-construction requirements are that trigger post-construction requirements in the event that somebody is putting in impermeable surfaces. It's 2,500 square feet. So at 2,500 square feet, municipalities in an MS4 who are putting in impermeable surfaces, they're triggered into some requirements about how they go about mitigating some of the potential for flooding and erosion. This is 2,500 square feet at this green box. And if I zoom out a little bit, there's that 2,500 square feet, and this is all plastic along Highway 101. Conclusion. Erosion and sedimentation threatens water quality and beneficial use protection, particularly aquatic life beneficial uses. There are 55 water body impairments that are related to sediment. And most of these impairments are located in agricultural areas in our region. The use of plastic poses an increased risk to erosion and sedimentation. And the use is not specifically regulated in the current agricultural order. Vegetation and riparian vegetation are vital for aquatic life beneficial use protection and have multiple benefits to water quality. staff will provide regulatory options when we continue our discussion about Ag Order 4.0 in March and May and June. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. We have 6 speaker cards, and I suggest to my colleagues that we hear the comments from these 6 parties, and then it will give us the opportunity to ask further questions. Thank you. So I will, yes.
Given the time and the length of this hearing item, may I request a break at this point?
Sure. 15 minutes.